I've been pondering a thought in the scripture. It's a verse that is a very practical verse. It's a very practical sermon that I would care to preach this morning. Turn with me to Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and his Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." I've chosen to look at Jesus' words this morning, especially verse 23. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Just a very practical verse that I wonder how well we do at practicing it. It was said in our Sunday school class this morning, what kind of a church would we have here if we just literally did what Jesus taught? Now, I paraphrase that somewhat. But what kind of a church would we have here if every one of us practiced this verse? "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." God has been calling people all through the scriptures to follow him. And I would like to just, before we do that, I was going to look at some practical examples. But God calls people and it costs them something. The title is "The Cost of Following Jesus." We live in a world where it's almost popular to be a Christian. You talk to people and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." I heard another pastor give this illustration. He said, I was out passing out tracts. And he said, as I passed them out, I would hand them to them. And I would say, "Are you a Christian?" And they would say, "Yes." And he said, I suddenly realized that everybody's a Christian. And so he said, he switched up these tactics a little bit. He said, next time he met an individual, he said, what has Jesus done for you? And he said they stuttered around and stammered around and, they didn't know. They were a Christian, but they didn't know what Jesus did for them. How are we this morning? Are we excited about what Jesus has done for us? Can we tell someone what he has done? Has he changed your life, my life? But there's a cost to following Jesus. And it's not a very popular thing in this world. Especially this verse. It's not very popular. I'd like to think about some of the old men of renown that Jesus called, that God called. Go clear back to Noah. God called old man Noah and he said, "Noah, I need you to build me a boat. I want you to do this for me." Now, Noah was a man just like we are. He had his dreams. He had his goals. He had his enterprise. I don't know what Noah did. But we just know Noah did it. It took 100 years of his life. How did he work it into his schedule? I don't have a clue. But he had to change something. Somehow, he worked it in. And what did it cost him? Well, it cost him 100 years of time that he could have spent doing something else. It cost him 100 years of time that he could have been enjoying a hobby. What did it cost him? Well, it cost everyone else, but he saved his life. You think of God called Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, I want you to follow me." I was going to read that account in Genesis chapter 12 was just three verses. It said, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What did Abraham do? Next verse says, Abram departed. He obeyed. We don't know how long Abram sat there and pondered that. We don't know. We don't know if he had to try to decide if he was going to follow or not. But we just see obedience. What did it cost Abraham? Well, it cost him his family. It cost him his friends. It cost him his home. And he spent his entire life just wandering around. Was it worth it? We know the story. We know how that God blessed him abundantly. But it was because of his obedience that God could bless his life. I had to think of Moses. God called Moses. And I'm thinking of the cost that it takes for you and me to follow Jesus this morning. And I'm thinking about these Old Testament saints, what it cost them. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, on the backside of the desert. And it said the angel of the Lord appeared out unto him in a burning bush. And we have Moses, a busy man tending these sheep. And God got his attention. And God said, "Moses, I have something for you to do. Will you follow me? Will you do it?" And you know what Moses' response was. Verse 11, Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" That's my response. Who am I? Who do you think I am, Lord, that I can preach? Lord, you know I can't talk. Go send someone else. He can do it so much better. And God kept talking to him. Moses had his excuses, but finally, he obeyed. And he went out and did. And he followed God. Even though he was a man with excuses, we know Moses is a great man. One that led the children of Israel. A meek man. God changed his life. What was the cost? What did it cost Moses to follow the Lord? Well, it cost his whole life. But he had God's blessing upon his life. I think of Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah. What did it cost Jonah? Again, he was a man. They had his own life to live. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Jonah, go preach. I want to use you. I want to use your voice. I want you to go preach the message I've given to you." And we know what Jonah did. He just went the other way. He didn't even argue. His actions spoke for him. What did it cost him? Just about his life. But God didn't let him go. God kept working with him. And eventually God could use Jonah, and he was able to preach, and he called men to repentance. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, the call of the 12 disciples. It's a very familiar account of when Jesus called the disciples. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with their hired servants, and went after him." Chapter 2, verse 14. "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. and he arose and followed him. Very familiar account of Jesus calling the disciples. I had to wonder what their thoughts were. I don't think this would have been the first time they ever considered following the Lord. They knew something about Jesus. And I wonder how many times they pondered this man Jesus. And they thought about what it would be like to be a follower of him. His strange teaching. A man of compassion. Someone that cared about the sick. And all of a sudden, when they were faced with the opportunity, there's no hesitation. They forsook all and they followed. Maybe it was novelty. But they followed. They just left what they were doing and they went and followed the Lord. Do you think they followed on and off? Do you think Monday it was my day to be the disciple and Tuesday it was Curtis's day and Wednesday it was Arlen's day? And don't read that in Scripture that one somebody had a day off and Joe's turn was Friday and I couldn't do it Monday, so Myron, he filled in for me. And it's kind of how we look at being a disciple. We kind of fit it into our schedule. Don't work. I'm too busy this day. I'll do it next week. I just had to let my mind wonder what it was like to be these disciples, to just walk away from their income. I know it's argued that they still had somebody tending the boats. Zebedee was still, they had hired servants. They were making an income. So praise the Lord, they could be a great disciple. But they still left something, and they followed the Lord. It cost them something. And it cost them their life. It changed their life. Jesus is calling us today. Every one of us. He gives us the great invitation in Matthew 11. It's very familiar. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a call of Jesus to every one of us here. And a lot of us here have said yes to that call. We have said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I'm sick and tired of this life. I want you to be my guide. I want you to take control of my life. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I think all of us are heavy laden. The cares of life get us down. I hear it a lot. We're tired. We're wore out. And we have Jesus' great invite to all of us to come to me. Come unto me. Come unto Jesus. See, there's the flip side of that's true too. There's other people that's saying, come follow me. You don't have to follow Jesus this morning. You don't have to. It's a choice that you will make, that I will make, that I will purposely decide, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I'm not going to follow these other masters. I'm not going to go left. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to allow him to become a part of my life. So it's a decision that we have to make personally. Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How do you learn of Jesus this morning? There's only one way you can learn of Jesus, and that is to dig into his word and to read it and try to understand, what does Jesus want from me? As we read his words, especially that's what's making these Sunday school lessons so valuable. It's Jesus' words, it's his teaching, and it's saying, this is what he wants for you. This is what he wants for me. How well do we listen to it? How well do we obey it? We learn of him. A disciple is one that learns. He's a learner, a student, a pupil. That's what he's saying. Learn of me. Be my student, and I will teach you. I will show you. The The first part says, take my yoke upon you. And we don't see yoke anymore. For you children here, I wonder how many understand what a yoke is. If I had a yoke, I would have brought it along. But you know, to get a yoke put upon you, you have to stretch out your neck. Kind of vulnerable. But you got to get yoked in. This big wooden thing that fits from my shoulders to another shoulders. And once I'm in a yoke, I can't get away from you. It's a little bit like those that were at the school picnic yesterday. You kind of got yoked in with each other. Of trying to do that skiing thing where two men try to walk on the skis at the same time. You had to walk together. And it was funny because most people can't walk together. They're not coordinated right. So when your left foot's coming up, my right foot's going down. And you just stumbling and falling. That's what a yoke does. Jesus said, I'm going to walk with you. You got to learn how to walk like I walk. When I pick my leg up, you pick yours up. Take my yoke and learn how to work together. Learn how to work with Jesus. Because we got work to do. See, a yoke of oxen can be teamed together to do a lot of work. But we don't have to. I didn't have to play that game. And I didn't. I don't have to be a follower of Jesus, but it's my willful choice. It's my choice to say, Jesus, I want to do this. This isn't a game, but this is life. Jesus, I want to walk with you every day. I personally will decide who I want to follow. The disciples voluntarily followed the Lord. There's no shortcuts to following the Lord. And we live in a world where everybody thinks there's a shortcut. There's normally 5 routes to get to wherever you want to go. You can get your GPS and you can figure out the quickest way there, but there's only one way to follow Jesus this morning. In Matthew, it talks about the broad way and the narrow way. It says straight is the gate and broad is the way. However that is, but it talks about we have to enter in at the narrow gate. Someone has said that gate is only wide enough for you to squeeze through. You can't squeeze through with anyone else. You can't take your baggage with you. Only you can squeeze through that gate. You have to forsake all if you're going to follow Jesus. It sounds almost like we have to give up everything, and we do. We have to give up my whole life, all my dreams, all my desires. And we do. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, come follow me. But it's a choice. In John 10, he talks about how we are the sheep of the pastures and how Jesus is our shepherd and we are the sheep. In verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I like that thought of how we hear the voice of our shepherd. I had to think of Trenton's goat. Because he hears the voice of his master, and all we have to do is open up the door, and all of a sudden hear this thing bleating. I didn't say a word. I walked out this morning, and it was hardly daylight, and this goat knew I was there. And he heard the voice of his master. He heard my footsteps, I guess. And he starts to bleat and he wants attention. But you know, we hear the voice of our shepherd. We know him. We don't have to worry about all the others out there. We know the voice. Not only do we know the voice of our shepherd, but he knows us. And they follow me. I heard this preacher gave an illustration of trying to herd sheep. I've never messed with sheep. I don't know sheep. But he said his dad had some sheep, and he was supposed to go move these sheep to another pasture. And so it just simply involved moving a fence. So he pulled up the stakes and made a big wide opening. And he said, come on, you know, get going. Just beautiful green field over here, and he was just trying to move the sheep to the next field. They weren't used to being herded by this shepherd. They didn't know his voice, and they balked. And they just kept milling around, and they wouldn't move. There was a big wide, it was easy. Wasn't even trying to get him through a hole. It was just move. And all of a sudden, this one big old lamb just decided to bolt. And she jumps the fence. Totally at the wrong spot. But she jumps, and guess what the rest do? 50 of them. They all started just following each other. They knew how to follow. And they all jumped the fence. What kind of sheep are we this morning? Are we following our shepherd, or are we jumping fences? We're going to follow someone. Who are we going to follow? The verse back in Luke 9 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I'd like to look at this in some practical areas. It changes my life when I follow the Lord. It changes my life when I pick up my cross and deny myself. The first thing that I'd like to look at, it says, deny myself, self-denial. What do we think about when we think about self-denial? To deny myself. I don't like that. I like to do things that please myself. I like to eat the foods that I like to eat. I like to play the games that I like to eat. I like to go where I want to go. I want to live life the way I want to live. To deny myself means that I'm in not control of my life anymore. And the world that we live in is so different than this. It's all about please yourself. Do what you want to do. Make yourself happy. Be a slave to sin. It's all about me, myself, and I. I want to talk about me. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad Dave's leg hurts. Did you hear about how bad my day was? It's terrible. See, I'm so concerned about myself. But when we have self-denial, I'm putting myself down. I'm killing myself. And I began to see the needs around me. I began to see your needs. I began to care about you. I began to be compassionate. There's many in the world. And I'm thinking about that all of us that are here. Most of us here have made a commitment and said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." How strong is that commitment in your life? Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." So many times I try to please myself and please God at the same time. I want to live my life and I want to live God's way. So then I start to do this thing. Well, there again, I'm going back to Sunday school. You know, cutting my checkbook. I want to make sure I'm making money at the same time. I want to serve the Lord, but I can't hardly do both, can I? It's either one or the other. What in your life can you point to and say, I'm denying myself this for the sake of the gospel? Can you point to something in your life and you can say, I am denying myself? What are you denying in order to follow the Lord this morning? What would your neighbor say? What are you doing different? Not that we just do things different than our neighbors. But can your neighbor say, yes, that man's different. He's got different goals in life. Think about it. What are you doing different? Can you point to something in your life that says you're laying it down for the Lord? In Luke chapter 9, we have here a story. In verse 57, I'll just simply read it. Luke 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Where are you in that story? Are we the one that has our hand to the plow and our vision, our eyes are on our Lord, and we're following him? I trust we are. These verses is people that began the Christian life, but it was just too hard. They weren't willing to say, Yes, Lord, I'll follow you the whole way. And they gave up and they went back. The theme verse this morning says, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Second thing I'd like to look at is taking up the cross. We all know what the cross was. Jesus bore his cross, an instrument of death. It wasn't a funny thing to see a man carrying a cross. His life was about to be ended. It was gruesome. The cross wasn't pretty. It wasn't the fancy gold cross you see hanging around the neck. It wasn't the fancy crosses you see hung up in front of a church. The cross was an old rough tree, wood, whatever it was. It was just the instrument of death. And Jesus bore it. The pain, the tears, it's all in a cross. And Jesus is saying, take up your cross daily. It's not something that's fun. It's not something we like to take up a cross. But we have to die to ourselves daily. Crucifying those old fleshly desires. Crucifying the things that have no part of a follower of Jesus Christ. It's hard. We don't know what God has in store for us. All of us have a journey that is different. God has called all of us to go through something in life. And he's saying, Will you bear it for me? Many people come face to face with the cross. But Jesus isn't saying you have to face it. Only by willful choice. And you'll say, Yes, Lord, I will do it. And you put yourself on that cross and you die. It's our choice. It's the only way that we can find God. It's the only way that God can be happy with our life. It's only through the cross. Romans 6:14 says, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Crucified this world in us, that we can be glorified with Christ. It takes a full commitment. That's the third thing I wanted to look at here, is it takes a full commitment. When we follow the Lord, it takes commitment on my part to follow through. It takes commitment for you this morning to run your job, whatever it is. If you don't have commitment, you're going to stop halfway through when it gets hard. You won't finish it. It takes commitment no matter what you do. It's a way of life. Cross-bearing. Discipleship. It's a way of life. And it's a full commitment that this is what I'm going to do. It's not about, okay, physically speaking, it's about life. Because we have to live. Do you want to live this morning? The rest of that verse says, Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. It's a paradox that you're going to die that you can live. But as we kill ourselves, as we give up of myself, my carnal will, we can find life. We can find fulfillment. It changes my view. It changes my perspective of life. And all of a sudden, I have a purpose for life. I'm not just out here floundering around. But when I say, Yes, Lord, it changes us. All of a sudden, I'm not doing things because I have to anymore. I'm doing them because I want to. It changes my perspective. We give willingly. And then we have the fruit that comes out of that. A full committed life. People can see it. They can look at your life and you can say, the fruit backs it up. John talks about the fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. It's a qualification for being a disciple that you bear fruit. What kind of fruit is coming forth out of our life? Another point, that when we, the cost, we're looking at the cost. So it's cross-bearing. It's self-denial. It's a full commitment. The next one I have is constantly seeking the kingdom. In Luke 12, we find that verse, Luke 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's that two-kingdom concept. We have the kingdom of the world and a kingdom of heaven. Which one are we focused on this morning? That's what sets us apart. That's what makes the decisions different. Not that we're just trying to make different decisions, but it affects the decisions. Whether we're looking for God's kingdom or this earthly kingdom. Paul says in Philippians, very familiar verse, "But what things were gained for me, those I counted loss for Christ." Paul was a very well-to-do man. He had everything figured out. He was schooled with the best schooling, taught with the best men. He had spent all that money on his college education. He had all the degrees that you want. And he says, it's no good. I count it for loss. What made the difference? It's because he said, yes, Lord. It's because he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And all of a sudden, that old life that he lived didn't mean anything to him anymore. It was a small price to pay. And then another area that a cost that is associated with following Christ is continuing. Continue on. Don't give up. As I said earlier, it takes a full commitment to follow the Lord. In John 8:2, it says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you want to truly follow God this morning, you can't give up. You can give up, but you don't want to give up. You need to remain faithful this morning. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Don't give up. Keep following the Lord. See, when we get wore out, we get tired, we get burned out, and we just say, is it worth it? I'm just going to stop. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do nothing. That's not what Jesus says. He just says, keep following me. It's not a choice to a follower of Christ to stop. Again, the verse in Philippians says, I follow after and I press on. It's something that we willingly choose to do. Never giving up, but continue on. Now, there are some distractions to following the Lord. We're looking at the cost. I had another section on distractions and how an easy lifestyle, just watching the world around us live an easy lifestyle, it can distract us. It can keep us from following the Lord. We know in John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They got sidetracked. They got sidetracked with the cares of this world and they fell out. They didn't walk with Jesus anymore. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to get distracted this morning. He wants me to get distracted and sidetracked. You know what it's like to go to talk to somebody? It's like, what was I going to say now? I forgot. That's what he wants us to do in our Christian life. He wants us to lose it. Well, I don't know. Is it worth it? I guess. And we'll just kind of fade away. Let's not become distracted, but to continue pressing on in our Christian life. In closing, I want to read some verses out of Colossians. I didn't write them down. I know it was in Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." Jumping over to chapter 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And it just, that whole chapter there is a very practical, that each one of us can apply to our life. But I trust this morning that as you are committed to following Jesus, that you are committed to following him all the way and allowing him to work every day of your life. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.